You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
I want to welcome you to Panel Sunday, and we're thrilled you are here. It's just exciting. It's exciting to see what God is doing in this place. And we want to talk a little bit today about the church. You know, you can see God's plan when we study creation. When you go to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you can see how God planned on things to work. What was his idea? And there was a man named Adam, and he was the first bachelor. He was given the job to name all the animals, and then it says in chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "But for Adam there was not found," and there's different translations, "a helpmeet," or the word "suitable for him." That word meant there was not found any nature like Adam's. There were not found any like him on earth. See, Adam was made in God's image. Adam was made in God's image, and no animal was made in God's image. Not any of the plants were made in God's image. So there was nothing suitable, compatible, that had Adam's nature. God had Adam lay down. God did the first anesthesia right here, put Adam to sleep, took from his side a rib, and fashioned a woman that would give life to the whole world. Now, we flip over a few pages into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it tells us about a second Adam. He had a divine nature. He was God in the flesh. Jesus was perfect. Jesus had God's nature. And he didn't marry any woman. There was no woman suitable or that was a helpmeet for him. There was no woman that had that nature for him to marry. Just as God did with the first Adam, he also did with the second Adam. He put Jesus on the cross. Jesus went to sleep. And if you remember, out of his side, it didn't come a rib. What came out of his side? Blood and water. Are you thinking about scriptures now in your mind? By the water, cleansing, he is washing and preparing a bride that is worthy of Jesus. Wow. A bride that has his nature. Out of the second Adam's side comes the preparation for a bride for him, Jesus and the church.
Wow.
Jesus and the church. Jesus is coming back this time for the bride that God has prepared for him. Mm. He's coming back for the church. The church on earth is the body of Christ. There's examples in scripture of the church. The ark is a perfect example of the church. Remember Jesus says, I am the door. No one comes in but comes through me. Think about the door of the ark. All those that came in through the door were saved from what took place outside in the world. The ark was a picture of the church. Too often, the church is not seen like the scripture teaches us. Too often, we so far miss God's plan and God's concept of the church. Too often, the church is seen as a place we go and not seen as who we are. Without all of my parts, my hands, my arms, my feet, without all of my parts, I am not a body. Without all of my parts here, there is no body here. And we find ourselves, even in our own homes, asking, do you want to go to church tomorrow? Do you want to go to church tomorrow? Do you want to go tomorrow? Well, I'm tired. What do you want to do? It's a discussion in homes whether we're even going to go to church. We all hear it said. You hear it said on a regular basis. Well, all those people are a distraction from me. God's on the golf course and I touch God playing golf. God is on the lake and in my bass boat, that's where I have church on the lake. That's where I have church. I don't need to come down here and have. You hear that said, people have no idea of the church. They have no concept of God's plan for the church. On stage with me today, Paul Kern, Melissa Glenn, I
I didn't get cheered like that.
What's going on?
I was afraid that was going to happen.
That was a late reaction to Paul's name.
I was afraid that was going
to
happen.
That was a late reaction to your name, Paul.
That's why it's better the four of us don't have a woman up here. We're fixing to get shown up right here really, really bad. Of a lesser source, I have Josh Barnett and David Pate here with me. In this panel today, we want to discuss why you come into church. Why come to church? Why don't we just have touch God out on the lake on our own? Why come to church? Melissa, talk to us about it.
Absolutely. This is my favorite topic, the church, because when you look at the body of Christ in the building, this is not just a building. It's a family to me. And when I first came to church here, I was 13 years old. I came from a single family home. So I had mom involved, but I didn't have dad involved. And my mom prayed, and she realized that at 13, my sister and I were not getting involved in youth group. We weren't getting involved in church. And so she prayed about it. And 21 years ago this month, we walked into the front doors of Christian Ministries Church, and Alan Bates was there. Wow. And he welcomed us, and he made us just feel like a part of a family. And from then now, I've seen a transformation of this is my family. Like, it's given me mentors and friends and father figures. In fact, this past Father's Day, I had to sit down and count how many men in our church, with you guys included, and I can point to you, over 13 men were involved in being a father in my life over the past 21 years.
Man, yeah, that's so cool.
Absolutely.
So good.
You know, I mean, it's similar for me growing up. The church was a second family for me. And in fact, you know, George Mosier was a big part of my life growing up.
Awesome.
I remember in particular, you know, just going through a difficult time in life. And I remember after church, you know, George putting his arm around me and just saying, David, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through this moment. And so church was a place that taught me how to be a man. It was a place that taught me how to get through difficult times. And so very similar for me too.
That's you can't get that type of support out. I couldn't get that type of support outside of the church. It's so vital.
No, it's so good. And now being, it was instrumental for me too, just even these three guys on stage, especially David, just when I first came here at 13, 14 years old as well, just being a father figure in my life. And even feeling like growing up in y'all's home when I was in high school. But now, having my wife and kids in church, it just because of that family that it created for me and what it produced in my life, coming to church isn't an option for us. There's never a question. We're going to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and any other time we're doing anything here, we're going to be here because this is our family, this is our community. And it's not just because I'm a pastor. It's not because I'm on staff that I'm always here. I was always here before I was on staff. And I, even if I wasn't on staff, it would be so important for me to have my family here. And with three young kids under 5 years old, it's hard sometimes. We live right across the street, and we have to start loading up at 10:15 to get to church on time. it's a struggle. And I was even texting my wife this morning because I was here during first service and just saying, babe, what you're doing right now, getting all three of our kids ready to come to church is more important than what I'm doing. More important because you're discipling, you're raising up our kids in the way that they should go and getting them here, getting them on the front row. I think she's sitting in the cry room right now with our littlest one, but it's so key to have it because this is our home, this is our family, because I understand that if a crisis happened in my life, God forbid I get sick or die or something, I know that I have a family of men and women that would step in and help raise my kids, help pay my bills, help mow my lawn, because I know the relationship that I have with people in this church that I would step in and do the same thing for them. And I know at a drop of a hat, if I have a kid get sick and I go to the hospital or something, there's 50 people that I can call and say, I need help. I need you to watch my kid. I need you to do whatever. Because it's a community.
That's
it's a family. It's a community. It's so much more than just a gathering on Sunday morning. It's so much more than that.
You know, not that you're going to call 50 people, but it sure makes you sleep good knowing you could.
For sure.
Because when you're out of the church, and Terry and I talk about this all the time, when you're out of the church, you can watch people flounder just in their personal lives because of the lack of what the church and those relationships do provide for you.
So good. You know, talking about these stories that are, you know, these are awesome stories.
Sure.
This is great hearing these stories. And a lot of times you don't know about people, their past and where they come from and how God did things in their life. And when I was 23 years old, that's when I gave my heart to Christ. And I grew up in a broken home. I had a very dysfunctional family. There was alcoholism in my home. And I was just as lost as I could possibly be. And I met the Lord, and I came here to Arkansas from Texas, and God planted me here in Christian Ministries Church. And this church played such a huge vital, I mean, it was vital for my life and what it did for me. You know, and I didn't realize it at that time, but now that I look back, you know, the church really kept me out of a lot of trouble. You know, as a young person, right. You know, there's things that you can get into on the weekends that you really shouldn't be getting into. There's people that you can connect yourself with that you really shouldn't connect yourself with. But you can find these healthy, great connections in church, and you have an opportunity and a place to be able to serve. And we just look around our church here this morning. There's young people all in this room. There's so many young people in this place, and I'm just so thankful that they have a place that they can come, that their lives are being changed. But not only that, as I begin to develop in the Lord, you know, I didn't realize that I had a gifting with young adults,
right.
that was something that I really enjoyed doing. And so God began to provide me an outlet and an opportunity to begin to influence young adults. Mm-hmm. And now that my wife and I have been in the ministry here for the number of years that we have our college internship here, we have our Expand Connect group for young adults here. You know, we've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people in our home. You know, obviously, as we're here sitting in rows today, change happens. But the real change happens in circles, not in
That's
rows.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's
That's
as great. We do life together that mm-hmm. true change happens. You know, I think about our internship and all of the host home families that we have involved that get involved with the development and the training and the impartation and the influencing of all these young adults that are here. That happens as a result of being in the church. So the church, like we said at the beginning, is a not a moment on Sunday morning, but it's a movement.
Right.
Yeah. Every day, sure. We're living the church.
That's great.
Well, Josh, you had mentioned as a father raising your kids, and I'm just thinking, if you were outside the church, 100% of your child rearing would be on you.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's true.
Raising in the church,
All
of a sudden, I just thought about Jason, our children's
Absolutely.
Leader. I started thinking about all of our teachers in school,
mm-hmm.
all of the input that your kids will
sure.
have in their life
Absolutely.
Because you get them in church.
No, for sure. It's not an option if we're going to kids' church or not Wednesday night. He's going to be there because I understand. It's so crazy because just raising kids, your kids come home and say like, oh, coach told me this today. And you're like, well, I've been telling you that for 15 years.
Yeah.
But seeing Micah now, I'm talking to him about the Lord, trying to teach him about the Bible and whatever. And it's like it's going in one ear and out the other. And then he comes home and says, well, Mr. Jason told me so-and-so about it. Like, son, I've told you that 50 times.
Yeah,
and so
like,
already at 4 years old, that other voice, that other mentorship, that other father figure voice, giving him wisdom and revelation already and training him up in the way children's ministry, shout out to Jason and Sid, the way children's ministries, they're training him up in the way that he should go. And they're helping me. They're helping enforce the values and things that we're trying to instill in our kids. And so it's, as long as it's in my house, it's not going to be an option. You're going to be at kids' church.
Well, and it's amazing how a church attendance has become a source of communication. You go and you're not going, what do you think? It's like a conversation in the home instead of this is where we will be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is what we do, and mm-hmm. it's not where we go. It's who we are. Well, let's get into some scripture here today, let's look at what the Bible does say about this topic. Malachi chapter 3. I want to read a very, very familiar passage because you have heard it. Every time a preacher gets ready to take up an offering, he's going to read this Malachi chapter 3. But I want to read it today, and I'm not taking up an offering. I want to look at something here. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Should people cheat God, yet you've cheated me? But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? Well, you've cheated me with tithes and offerings due to me. You're under a curse, for the whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. Now, if you do so, says the Lord of heaven, and then we major on the blessings. Windows of heaven are going to be open. He's going to pour out blessings and put me to the test. Your crops are going to be abundant. And that is so true. That is good. And we need to be well aware of that. But I want to back up and look at just a line here that we often overlook. Bring all of the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food. Now think about this. Just think about all of the tithe that comes in here. Let me just tell you, you by yourself on the lake touching God didn't have 75 kids in a lock-in last weekend like Josh just had. You didn't produce that by yourself, having your time with God out on the lake. You didn't produce that by, well, I watch church on TV. You didn't have, 53 kids in Children's Day last Saturday
all day long. You watching church on TV didn't have and provide for and enable 53 kids in a Saturday to spend down here at church. Let me just tell you, when you sit there and think, well, there's nothing for me to do, I'm not really involved in church. Every time you visit these baskets here at the altar, remember, you are feeding over 300 children their only meal in Honduras. And after they finish eating their only meal of the day, we're teaching them to read so that they can read the Bible. Every time you visit these baskets, you're feeding 300 kids in Honduras. Paul just told us backstage, I don't know if y'all heard that, we had 631 download podcasts this week.
Wow.
Here in last week's sermon, 631 people were ministered to around the world. And you didn't minister to 631 people watching church on TV. It's by us corporately, and back to Malachi, that storehouse, what we are doing here is enabling. So, and of course, we could just talk all afternoon on the things this church is doing and the number of people we're reaching.
I will say, just because I'm going to go and do youth group tonight, and you won't be there, but I want you to understand, like, you coming in and tithing, you coming in, well, it's just throwing a dollar in the collection plate. Like, no, it's 1 John 3:8. It's destroying the works of the devil.
That's right.
We're discipling young people tonight. You putting a dollar in makes us able to turn lights on and turn air on for us to be able to use bathrooms. It's because the church corporately is giving, so you're just as much a part of it as I am. And so I'm grateful, and that's a huge part of being a part of the church.
You know, I can't, and I don't think this is far-fetched to think this, but I just think of a convenience store clerk that doesn't get shot, that gets to raise his family because of what you're going to do in youth group. I mean, because of a kid growing up, we see what happens when they don't grow up in youth group, but because of the change and the transformation that takes place, how is Josh able to have, well, that's Josh in youth group. You're going to have the lights turned on over there. They cost a lot. You're going to have a building over there. It's just amazing what you are doing corporately here.
You know, you keep talking about golf and the lake, and I don't know how good your golf game is, but I don't ever touch God on the golf course. I'm lucky if I have my clubs by the end of the deal because I threw them in the lake there. So I've never I've touched a lot of things, but it's not God on the golf course. I can tell you that.
So if you're not in church, you're not out touching God.
No, you can know. It doesn't get me closer to God. I get closer to something. Maybe cussing, but it ain't God. But you know, Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not neglect meeting together, as some have made a habit, but let us encourage one another. But it says, let us not neglect meeting together. And you know, it's no wonder the enemy doesn't want us in church, because every time we come to church, we grow. Every time we come to church, our flesh is challenged. You know, the enemy's goal is to isolate us. The enemy wants to make us an island. And I could only imagine, you know, going to college and how lonely it would be to try and follow Christ if you're not in church. You know, I could only imagine, you know, if you have to work every time we have church and you have to work and you're never able to come to church, how lonely that gets. You know, or even just doing yard work on Sunday and just not showing up. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us. And you know, why do we neglect the church? Why do we not go to church? Why, one of the, I think the biggest reason is because there's imperfect people there.
Right.
I don't want to go to church. It's full of hypocrites. It's full of imperfect people. Well, exactly. And wherever we go, it's full of imperfect people. You know, where I had a bad experience one time at church, or I don't have time. That's my favorite one. I don't have time. You know, it's amazing. We have time and money for everything we want to have time and money for. And we never have time and money for anything that we don't want to have time and money for. So I think it's more of a what we want to do. But I tell people, as Christ followers, we need to find a church. We need to commit to a church, and we need to serve a church. And that's the goal. But it says, let us not neglect meeting together.
Well, David, you mentioned that I had a lady just recently tell me, she did never go to church because the hypocrites. The hypocrites down there at that church. What does imperfect people have to do with you being a member of Christ's body and touching God and being obedient to His word? True. The church is full. All of us have a degree of hypocriticalness in us, in that I want to be more than I am right now. Mm-hmm. We're all less than where we want to. Those people down there, never hypocrites. I would never go and associate with those hypocrites. What does that and other people have anything to do with you and your relationship with the Lord and your commitment to His body? It's just interesting, the excuses that we talk about.
Yeah, and I'll be prone to be a hypocrite if I can't surround myself with you. That's why I need you to buffer me and to teach me and to speak the word of life into me.
Sure.
Because that's just practical. And you think about, you said plug into a church. What was it that you just said, the three things? Get involved in a church.
You need to find a church, commit to a church, and serve a church.
And sometimes we think, well, how can I serve a church? Like, what's my ability to serve a church? Or we kind of prioritize. But in Romans 12, it lays out really clearly. In verse 4, it says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. And in God's grace, He's given us to do gifts, to do certain things well. So He's given us the gift of whether it's prophecy or teaching or ministry or mercy right there, and that opportunity to serve and to bless each other. I love how you pulled out and revealed that the bride of Christ is God's gift to Jesus, and how He brings that from the side of man. And it's actually God's desire to bless His bride and to make her pure and spotless and to move to that place of holiness. But one of the ways He does that is to bring us together, to buffer, to encourage, and to speak life to each other, to use those gifts.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 1 Corinthians 12 says something super similar, talking about the parts of the body. The human body has many parts, but many parts make up the whole body, so it is with the body of Christ. Verse 14, yes, the body has many different parts, but not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would it make it any less part? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it to be. And I think one thing that we need to understand is we're not called to a building. We're called to be a part of a body.
Yeah.
That's it.
We're called to be a part of a body, and if my hand gets offended at me, it can't leave my body. Mm. Or if I get offended at my hand, I can't cut my hand off because my hand will die.
Yeah,
and so we're
right.
called to be a part of a body, not part of, it's so easy to leave a building, but it's hard to leave a body. You can't leave a body. We're called to be a part of this. And as that, like, and He says right here, like, you're God has placed you where He wants you. You're here for a reason. He's given you your giftings for a reason. And I want to say this, like, kind of how Melissa was wording it, is that your giftings are for the body.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So God has gifted you with something that you're supposed to come with to the body. So I can't afford to miss church because I am here to bless somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily, yes, it's for me to get encouraged by you, by the believers, but you've got to understand that God has put something inside of you. You're the ear. I'm not the ear.
Mm-hmm.
You're the nose. I'm not the nose. You're the hand. I'm not the hand. And the one who screwed in the light bulb is just as important as me coming up in here and speaking.
Right.
The one who's taking out the trash after church is just as important as me. The one who's greeting at the door. The one who's who God tells you, hey, during worship, I want you to go pray for this person. I want you to go pray for their kids.
Yes.
I want you to go pray healing. I want you to go tell this person something. You can't afford to miss church because God has something that He wants you to do while you're here as being a part of this body.
Yes.
You know, the problem is we rank our giftings.
Yeah,
that's
true.
We see
other people and we think, well, Tim's a speaker.
Right.
Yeah. Of course he can't miss church. You know, how silly for him to say that he could, you know, but you know, I was even thinking of our security guys. I was just, Mike was there in the back and I was talking with him and I just said, man, thank you for what you do.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said, because what you do, he's sitting in the back right now. We feel good in here today, but I'm just thinking about just all of us and what we do, but it's easy to look in the mirror and say, I'm nothing. And so-and-so is
that's
something.
That's true. And we've got so much emphasis on the mouth. Well, where will the mouth be without the cheek? And the, I mean, it takes the folks out in the foyer signing up and getting organized. I mean, just all of us, the body. Just the other day, I was in my shop and I knocked a sledgehammer off the deal and hit my foot. And you had just mentioned about getting offended. At that moment, my foot was highly offended at my hand. Highly offended.
True.
But it didn't storm out and say, I am quitting this body. If that's the way they're going to talk about me, that's what they think about me down there at that body, then my foot's just going to go. that's not a consideration.
Right.
When we understand the body of Christ, it changes things about us. I don't doubt that you didn't get offended last week when somebody said this. You probably did. My foot got a sledgehammer on it, but it didn't break and run. Because that happened, it's still a functioning part of the body.
So yeah, and you think about it, if you were to get offended at your foot and just cut it off and move it out, it will die, like you said. And that's the goal of Satan, is to isolate you, to get you away from the body of Christ, so that you do eventually die. But for you to come in and be a part of the body of Christ, we need you. Like, the body needs you. There's no way that I can be thirsty all day long, but if my hand doesn't grab the water and put it to my mouth and take a drink, I'm still going to be thirsty.
Yes,
so the body of Christ is to bless the body of Christ in a practical way.
That's great.
That is so good.
You know, you're talking about being committed, right? Being committed to a body. And I think we've talked a little bit here about getting offended. And I think that's important that we're talking about that. Because I've been going to church here for almost 30 years. I've got offended lots of times. Wanted to leave on a few occasions. But you live your life based off of something different.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, I love the scripture in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus replied, you're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this by human reasoning or by any other human being. And now I say that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. You know, I think the first thing that's very important to recognize here is that the church is not built on a personality. It's not built on a person. That's not what connects us to a church. As we look at this, and this is a mistake that a lot of people have made when they read this scripture. Jesus said, you are Peter. That word in Greek means Petros, which means a piece of a rock or a small rock. But upon this Petra, this massive interconnected stone mountain, I will build my church. So the church is not built on a personality or a person.
Man, that's good.
The church is built upon the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God.
Yeah, that's it.
And we all are here submitting to Him in His headship and His leadership, regardless of what anybody else does or they doesn't do. Then it goes on to say, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The point is, the church wins. And you always want to be on the winning team, right? You want to be on the winning team, so you want to be plugged into the church.
That's so good. That's so good. And my involvement here has nothing to do with whether you hurt my feelings or didn't hurt my feelings. That just comes and goes with living life with people. But I don't, well, I'm leaving that church. And the point that we were making, and you said, had my foot got offended and left the body, this body would still be here, but my foot would have withered up and gone. Had you left when you got offended, this church would still be here. You're the one that suffers. I think we need to keep that in mind.
Now, Peter even said in 2 Peter that the church is built on the cornerstone. That cornerstone is Christ. And so we do come in, we come in here for Him. We come in here to worship Him, submit to Him. And I think it's easy for us to come in and just fill a seat and be entertained by one or two people's giftings. We're entertained by the pastor's gifting or the worship leader's gifting, but sometimes it's hard for us to see that we're coming with something, that we come. All the saints come in with a gift for one another, and we're not just coming for ourselves, and we're not just coming to sit in a seat and not connect with anybody, not to get to know anybody, not build a family, not have a relationship, not pray for anyone, not encourage anybody. And it's very easy to I want the pastor to come in and have the pastor feed me or the worship leader entertain me, and it's not about that at all. It's about Him. It's all about Jesus.
And we can limit ourselves too, because just bear with me. Like, you know, this is the church. Here's the steeple. Open the door. See all the people. And you think, well, actually, this is the people. We can't limit it to just this place and this platform. This is an opportunity, corporate gathering, but so is our connect groups. And so are the Friday night girls night out, hearing from these women who shared their testimonies and getting to connect, or meeting one-on-one with someone and just getting to know who Jesus is and what that looks like. We can't limit ourselves to say, well, this is the body of Christ and this is it. But to be wherever we're at, to be the church.
Yeah, the local body, but there's also the global body. So we're, you're called to a local body, but we're part of the global body.
Right.
We were talking in last service about how you can meet somebody from halfway across the world. You talk to them for 5 minutes, and this is my brother. This is my brother in Christ.
That's
like
right.
This is you're like kindred spirits. You're like, I've talked to this guy for 5 minutes, and I feel like he's my best friend. Now, that's because we're both part of the body of the Christ. If we both have the spirit of the bride, we connect in that way. And I'll say this too. A lot of times churches, even how people can get in competitions in local churches, the churches can get in competitions with one another, and it's not about, well, we're competing against Walnut Valley, or we're competing against Fellowship, or whatever. We pray that those churches prosper. We pray that they're successful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I meet teens all the time when I go to schools and stuff, and I ask them, where do you go to church? Where do you go to youth group? I'm never trying to recruit them to get to mine.
Sure,
I want you to pour your life into yours. I'm not interested in a sheep changing pastures. I'm interested in finding the one that left the 99.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's the part of the global body there. We're all part of the same bride.
That's so good.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, I was in a church in Texarkana, and I felt like I was in Christian Ministries Church.
Right.
I mean, the worship, the word, talking with people. They even knew people that we knew, and you know, that's what it's all about. I love Gospel Light, Erica Pacey, how we've really gotten connected with it. I think the church is really starting to come together more and to stop competing against one another.
Good.
And I love what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, where he talked about that relationship that we're talking about, that Christ to the church. It says, for a husband's the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He's the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to the husbands in everything. Verse 25, for husbands, this means love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. And then he goes on, verse 21, no one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. What's Paul talking about in Ephesians 5? He's talking about how the church and Christ is the same as a marriage relationship.
Right.
That's the example that Paul uses here. And he gives us this picture of a relationship. And you know, there are supposed to be obligations in
That's
a marriage
good.
Relationship. There's supposed to be obligations in a relationship. Well, I can do whatever I want. Well, not and stay in a relationship. That's not the way Melissa rolls. And you know, I am needed. I have to be there.
Right.
You know, we have a commitment to one another, and that's what Paul says, is our relationship with the church should be like a marriage relationship, that
Absolutely.
We're committed to one another.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because of the brokenness of the family today, we don't understand obligations.
Well,
That's right.
It is.
We don't understand relationships and how they're supposed to be obligated to one another.
And
so I think that flows into the church.
I think you're absolutely right. A big problem we have is just a loss in obligation, of your obligation to be here. And I don't want any member, especially of this church, to underestimate your importance here.
Right,
You can't, well, I'm not the preacher, I'm not the guitar player, what do I do? Well, Brandon and I spend a lot of time on this stage during the week when you're not here, and there's a little bit of a difference.
Mm.
I mean, you've got to understand how important it is when you're here.
Right.
That's good.
You've got to understand how important it is that you are here, and never underestimate what you do coming and going and having young people see you here every week. I think it's very interesting. As I go to high school graduations, as we do funerals, those times when people are thanking or remembering or looking back, whatever times those are, I notice. I really notice, because I'm a preacher. Not one of my sermons has ever been mentioned in any of those functions ever. Never. What is always mentioned? Somebody.
Yes,
that's right.
That's true.
Somebody. Melissa, her first opening thing. When I came in here 21 years ago, I want to tell you about the powerful message that Tim preached. I'll never forget it. She don't have a clue what I preached. What did she remember? Alan Bates greeting her at the door.
Mm.
Not my sermon. So when you are underestimating your importance here, you just got to remember.
Great.
You've got to remember that. It's very interesting. This wasn't even in this church. This is when David and George were in a church in South Texas. David did not say, I was going through a difficult time as a young boy. I'll never forget the sermon that morning and the preacher preached. He don't have a clue. He doesn't even know who the sermon was or about it, but he remembered it. George.
So powerful.
The man in that church, after church,
put his arm around him and said, "Son, I know you're going through a hard time. It's going to be okay." Mm-hmm. That's what David remembers many, mm-hmm. many years later. Mm-hmm. You can't underestimate what you're doing here.
That's right.
And this is not a formula. This is a relationship. Like, this is actually living the body of Christ. And even in John 13:35, it says, Jesus said, they will know that you're my disciples because of your love.
Wow.
Because you're genuine and you're actually caring about people. Because it can be easy to come in and sit down in the chair and leave and even kind of fake a smile and give a pat on the back, which is valuable too. But if you're going to actually live it, I was just reading, it says, be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Mm. Like, don't just pretend to love, but really love people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the trademark of Jesus, and we're called to be that in his bride.
I just think it's important that we understand how we were created as people.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
God created us for community.
Yeah,
that's right. That's
he created us. We are created to be in community with others. And when we're not a part of the church, you see people, and we know it too. When we're not a part of the church, we've been seeking that community.
Yeah.
We want to be a part of some group, somewhere, somehow, because that's the way that God designed us, to be in community with one another. And when we're out of community, we're looking for it somewhere, somehow.
Mm-hmm. So true. Well, we're designed that way. Back to what you said, and it was kind of, the church kept me out of trouble. Get kids in youth group, keep me out of trouble. That's what it did.
And that's exactly.
I mean, that's exactly what it did, because you are driven. Where do we think gangs come from?
Right.
That's right.
That's it.
Lack of a family.
Got to be in a group.
Not having a member of a family. That's where they find that. You just look at that.
That's right.
Because that's the way we were created.
Wow.
That's just where we are.
Really.
You know, you think about. You hear people say, "Well, you know, that church is kind of cultish. You know, y'all are together all the time." But it's because people are made to be in family.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
People are made to be in family. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, you're going to connect with someone somewhere. Your family's going to become the workout club.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Your family's going to become the gun club. Your family's going to become a gang. Your family's going to become a group of young people that you run with that get you into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Or your family is going to be the church. Because here's the thing. The devil always offers a counterfeit to every spiritual thing that God does.
Yeah.
So my family, until I was 23 years old, was the club. It was a bar.
Right.
And it's a counterfeit of the church. Think about it. So you have a minister that stands behind the bar, and he is the pastor over the flock. He ministers spirits to everyone there that comes. There's fellowship, but the fellowship is done in darkness. It's not done in light. And so the devil offers a counterfeit to everything.
Wow.
So we're going to connect with something. Why not connect with God's church and let God do a great thing in your life?
Well, where is that gang going to take you?
Right.
You come in as a 12, 13-year-old boy. What will that make out of you by the time you're 18, 20, 25?
Right.
What will that club, you go there night after night, week after week, what will that, it was making something out of you.
No doubt.
It was making the kind of man that you were becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And when you become a member of the body of Christ, it will take you somewhere.
Right.
It will take you somewhere that you aren't
really
when you start going there. And that's what the ministry of the church is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what the ministry is all about.
But the enemy will tell you when you're a part of the church, no, it's better in that club. The enemy will tell you, and then he isolates you, he gets you out of here, and that's just that cycle there.
Yep.
Really good.
Well, you always got to look at the fruit. Where will this take me?
Mm-hmm.
Where will I end up if I commit myself to this group?
Mm-hmm.
Where will I end up if I commit myself to
this
group?
That's good.
Yep.
Where will I end up? And that's whenever Terry and I were looking early in our life as we begin. Here's where we want to commit ourselves. A goal that we had. I want to become one of the largest tithers in this church. I want our kids in this church. And now, 40 years later, we have become those things that we had in our heart to do. And it never ceases to amaze me. You have in your heart to become this kind of a person, but you align yourself with this kind of group that's going to take you in that place.
That's wow. And you know, Tim, I think that's so interesting as we're talking about this, because I was just thinking, and this just hit me. I was just thinking about all the college young people that go off to college, right? What is the first thing that they get themselves connected with?
Fraternities
and sororities. Why? because they left their church right. and they're looking for somewhere to be connected. Mm-hmm. And I tell our young people all the time, the first thing that you need to do when you go to college, yeah. the first thing you need to do as a young couple, if you're married, when you move into a new town,
find a church
yeah, to get connected in and serve. Because like you said, that makes all the difference in the kind of person that you're going to be.
I had a very interesting experience. It's been a number of years ago, but a man came to visit our church. And I met him this first time here, and I was talking to him, and here's what he told me. I'll never forget it. He said, my company is looking to transfer me to Hot Springs. I came to visit some churches to see if there was a place that I could get involved in before I accepted the transfer here.
That
said a lot to me.
Yeah,
that really said a lot to me. My goodness, we run out of time before we even get started. Y'all enjoyed the panel today? Our prayer is that you get a revelation. Mm-hmm. Back to the scripture that Paul shared. This is not something that flesh and blood can reveal to you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is not something that you can read and go, okay, I believe I'll go join that club. The Holy Spirit has got to reveal to you the significance, the importance, your place of the church, and what God's plan is for the church. Today, I want you to know going to church is not a good idea. Going to church is not something that's important for you to do. Going to church, becoming a member of the body is vital.
Vital
to your walk with the Lord. Y'all stand.
So good.
Father, today we thank you for providing the body of Christ for us. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the ministry of the church. Thank you for what your church does for each one of us as individuals, for each one of us as parents, for each one of us as family members. Thank you, Lord, for what the church provides for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you didn't just save us and then throw us out here to fend for ourselves, but that you gave us the church to be a member, a vital part of, to grow and to nurture and to train in. Lord, we honor you today. We ask your hand of direction be on us as our lives lived, honored, and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.